الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you today? إن شاء الله you are in the best health and iman. In today's podcast, I would like to speak about one of my favorite topics, and that is marriage. But not in the way that you think. And I want to touch a few things. And that is, what should a person who's not married be doing? What should they be focusing on before they are married? And for a person who's struggling to get married, what could help reduce that struggle, and so on. So, and hopefully I will be speaking in a way where, you know, I am experienced. For example, what I mean by that is that because I'm married right now, I know what I regret not having done at times where I was not married. Now that I am married, I know that, you know, if I had struggled to get married, what I could have done better to help. So, if you are not married, what are you doing right now that you will regret that you did not do? Someone might be, you know, ready to get married in their opinion. They might want to get married in their opinion. But the question is, are you ready to get married? Do you even ask yourself, am I really ready? Am I honestly ready to get married? You know, being ready to get married differs. The word ready, being ready, might differ from person to person. But, you know, logically speaking, there are certain things one should be ready about before they try to get married or want to get married. Okay, so one of the first things that comes to mind when I say, are you ready to get married, is that, have you ever sat down, opened a book, an Islamic book, that tells you in detail what your rights are as a woman? Or is it just, you know, something that you just heard, you just overheard, these are the rights of women? Have you sat down and studied, learned the rights of a husband? Honestly, I think we need to come to understanding that, you know, you're not born learned. The only time you are learned is if you actually learn. You can't have just heard things and think that, yeah, this is all I need to know. One or two things is more deeper than that. One who wants to get married, who thinks they're ready to get married, should learn anything that relates to marriage. That's number one. Number two, are you ready to take the responsibility of being a married woman? Because honestly, a lot of the times, people get into marriages, and unfortunately, they realize that, no, this is not for me. It's not for me to have been married by now. I'd rather be out of it. But I think the cause for this is that people were not ready to begin with. You know, when you go into an exam, there's a difference between going to an exam when you are well prepared and coming, you know, coming out of it, and going into an exam when you are not prepared and coming out of it. When you are prepared, you're less likely to fail. When you are prepared, you have confidence. You're not gonna let go easily. But when you are not prepared, you might fail, most likely. When you have no idea what an exam contains, you are less you are more likely to fail. But when you have an idea of what an exam is about, you're more likely to succeed, right? And this is with marriage. You need to learn, you need to know the ins and outs as much as you can before you get yourself into it. And you have to ask yourself also, why do I even want to get married to begin with? Why am I getting married? Is it because, you know, I'm seeing people getting married? Why are you getting married? It's very, very important that you know exactly why you want to get into marriage and you have a clear intention behind marriage. I truly believe if somebody has, you know, very clear reasoning as to why they're getting married, they're going to have a more successful marriage than if someone was to just get married for the sake of getting married. So ask yourself, do I know why I'm getting married? Okay. That's that. So you need to know why you're getting married. You have to know. And you have to know the ins and outs of marriage. Don't think that you know. Wallahi, don't think that you know. You might think you know. You might have an idea of something. Deeply, do you really know? Because a lot of us, we think we know. Like I said, you're not born with knowledge. You have to seek it. You have to learn. The only time you can say you know something is if you've actually learned it, not if you've heard. You can't be knowledgeable just because you heard. Moving on to the next part of this, and that is, for anyone who is struggling to get married for whatever reason, you know, many people have different reasons. Many people, they are struggling to get married because they just can't find the right person. Many people are struggling to get married because, you know, maybe family members are stopping them, or maybe they have whatever the reason that you may be struggling to get married. I have one thing to say, or maybe a few things to say, and that is, trust he who is making you go through that struggle. Trust the one who put you in that situation. You could have easily got married if Allah wanted to, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose otherwise. He chose that you struggle. But the beauty of that, you know what the beauty of that is? If you're a person who, you know, knows the qadr of Allah, then you would usually have sabr, right? What happens to the person who has sabr? Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have sabr. So what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in a situation where you are being patient, you're being patient, Allah put you in that situation, what happens to you? Allah loves you for your sabr. You know, it doesn't just come with nothing. That's the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you're not going to go through something really bad. I wouldn't say bad actually. You wouldn't struggle. And on top of that, be patient and get nothing out of it. No. ما يصيب المسلم من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن ولا أذى ولا غم حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كفر الله بها من خطاياه. Never is a believer taken with discomfort and illness, an anxiety, a grief or a mental worry, or even the pricking of a thorn, but Allah will forgive his sins on account of his patience. Don't think that you're being patient and you are not getting anything out of it. You're getting the love of Allah. You are getting forgiveness from Allah. And you are going to be put in a higher ranking. Don't think that you're not getting anything out of it. When you're patient, إن الله مع الصابرين. Allah is with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. إن الله مع الصابرين. Allah is with the patient. If Allah is with you because of your, you know, what you're going through, then in a way that's good, because Allah is with you and Allah loves you. Allah يحب الصابرين. We're not making things up. Allah loves, if you are patient, okay, there's a difference between, you know, we always hear, oh, you know, people are going through something very difficult, oh, Allah loves you. We're not talking about, you know, directly speaking to specific individuals. We're talking general. If you have patience and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah loves you, okay? That's what Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. You know, you might sometimes feel like, oh man, why me? Why can't I just find the right person? You might find it very difficult to understand. But at the same time, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's better for you. And you know that, you know, what you are seeking, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it is right for you and is better for you, then you will get it, inshallah. But, you know, it's good to remember that sometimes you might think, I need this, and why is it not happening? It's good to remind yourself that He who created you knows when it's better, when something's better for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It may be that you hate a thing, but it's good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And it may be that you love a thing, although it is evil for you. And look at this beautiful ayah, the way it ends. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you do not know. You don't know. You don't know if marriage is good for you right now, sis. You have no idea. So always, always trust. Trust the one who brought you to this world, sis. Trust He who is in control of your affairs. He who is in control of your soul. You are breathing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying kun, be. And you know when it gets very, very, very hard, when it gets very difficult, put your hands up, sis. Raise your hands up. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry as much as you need Him. Speak to Allah. Have a deep conversation with Allah. you know, when we talk about dua, people just talk about, yeah, make dua, you know, you'll get what you want. But dua is more than that. You know, dua actually heals you, just the action itself. I'm not talking about getting something out of your dua, because you might well not get anything out of your dua, meaning what you're asking for, because sometimes you don't get your duas answered because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you from something, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give you something in the hereafter and not, you know, right now. But making dua, we don't make dua just to get what we want. Dua heals you. By literally making dua, just the action, just speaking to Allah itself, is a form of healing. I'm sure you've realized this sometimes. You know, when you just make dua, because you know you're in so much need, you get a relief. You are relieved after the dua. You haven't even received what you've made dua for, but the fact that you just made dua, you feel so much better. So make dua a constant thing. Make dua at all times. Make dua like every day about anything and everything that you want. Wallahi, you will see that although it might be taking a long time to receive something, but it will help you in your situation. It will help you. Keep making dua, and remember the etiquette of asking Allah. You know, the best way to make dua is by making wudu, facing the qibla. You know, start praising Allah by His perfect names and attributes. Recognize the blessings He has given you before asking Him. Let your du'as be preceded by a good deed even, and follow it by sending salam upon the Prophet. Do your du'a properly, and don't forget, every single night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling to His, he's telling His, you know, His slaves, who wants to ask me something that I may give it to Him. What are you doing at that moment, at the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers du'as? Where are you? Are you of those who are awake and asking Allah of what they want, or are you of those who are sleeping? You want something so badly, sis? Then you have to be awake every single night when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers du'as. You want something so bad? Then work for it. Work for it, sis. And remember that any difficulty that we go through, just remember that this is nothing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resolve. Just remember that. And remember when you are not getting what you're asking for, just remember that it could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to respond to you at a later time. Why? Because He knows. He knows and you don't. It takes some time sometimes to get what we want, and that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He knows. But remember, no matter the situation, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That, you know, anything that you're going through, any difficulty, you know, you've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked and asked and asked, and you just feel like, oh, it's too much for me now, I can't handle this. That feeling, if you have patience, trust me, it's good for you. And if you get what you want also, it's good for you, because you're going to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're going through a difficulty and you have sabr, it's khair for you, because you are having sabr. You are going to be put in a higher ranking. It's pity. When you try to have sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to leave you to have sabr and that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you have sabr. How do we know this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرَ, whoever has patience, يُصَبِّرُهُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him patience. Allah will aid you in your patience. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we really having patience? Because if we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us have sabr. And always ask dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you sabr. And always make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you sabr. Because Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said in the same hadith, وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَضَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبَرِ, that, you know, no one is granted a gift, a blessing better and more comprehensive than patience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sabr. We ask Allah to truly reward us with such status. I mean, if you're struggling to get married, I want you to think of it as, you know the Salaf, when they had so much of the dunya, it didn't mean much to them. And when they didn't have something in the dunya, or, you know, when something has been taken away from them, it was similar. It was very, you know, it wasn't significant to them. And sometimes I truly believe that when a person is practicing, you know, zuhd, the English word for that, I think, is asceticism. Might be wrong, but when you're when you are practicing asceticism, you are more likely to find it less difficult, or you might not find it any difficult at all. Why? Because the hereafter is all you're concerned about. You know, the dunya and anything it contains, children, marriage, a husband, anything that the dunya, you know, has, doesn't mean anything to you. And that's why it's so important that we put the hereafter in front of us. We concern ourselves with the hereafter more than this dunya. This might be an unpopular opinion, but wallahi, had we practiced this, being a zahida, you will not be distracted by the things of the dunya, sis. When you are a zahida, nothing in this world means anything to you. You know, you would see it very insignificant, more insignificant than a dust. We truly need to work on making our concern be the hereafter. What am I getting? Where am I going to? Because the reward of those who are zahid, those people, you know, the reward of this dunya and what it contains, is not the same as the reward of the hereafter. You know, the reward of those who have taqwa is better than all of the joys of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this in the Quran, that, you know, men, beautified for men is the love of this world. Sorry. Beautified for men is the love of the things of this world. Women, children, gold, silver, horses, beautiful horses, cattle, land. This is the pleasure of this world. Right? But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after, you know, after the ayah, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, in the end, when he explains what people love, قُلْ أَنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّن ذَلِكَ, shall I tell you, shall I inform you of what is far more better than the, you know, of the things that men love, or women, for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قُلْ أَنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّن ذَلِكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. What do they have? جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Jannah, paradise with their Lord, underneath which rivers flow. If somebody has that at the back of their head, if we constantly think about Jannah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we're constantly making plans on how we are gonna even get there, then our mind would take over our mind. So perhaps we need to practice being the people of the hereafter, and maybe then that would help us with our struggles, work for the hereafter, sis. And if marriage comes, it comes. But it's not going to put you in a bad place. It's not going to stress you out as much as it is already. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of our affairs easy. And another thing to think about before you know, something to help you focus before you are married, instead of thinking too much about marriage, is to spend your time doing something that will benefit you when you are married. For example, practicing being a person that respects people. If you don't respect people and you get married, and you marry someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with someone amazing, they're going to be appalled by your character if you can't respect him. If you can't love, you can't get married and expect not to love your husband. It doesn't work like that. You're going to struggle. If you have a very bad character, you're going to struggle in your marriage. So perhaps work on being a good person. You know, إِنَّ مِنْ خِيَارِكُمْ أَحْسَنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best amongst you are those who have the best manners and character. Work on your character. Work on being soft and gentle. Work on your communication skills. A lot of marriages are dying out because there's no respect. There's no gentleness. There's no, you know, there's lack of communication. Work on these things, sis. Always work on improving yourself. You know, it's well good, you know, it's all great that a lot of sisters, a lot of us want amazing brothers. You know, sisters want to marry men with good akhlaq, who have deen, where you've got who've got knowledge, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who act upon the deen. But all these things that you're listing, that you have in mind, that you know you want in someone, do you have it in you? Ask yourself, do you have these good qualities in yourself? Are you a person of good akhlaq and good manners? Are you a person who can communicate even though, you know, the emotions are there? Are you a person who has tolerance towards people? It doesn't make sense that, you know, a person wants so much from another person, but they don't have it themselves. We need to work on our akhlaq. We need to work on our attitude towards the people. We need to be people who are cheerful, kind. People who are not arrogant and have so much kibr. We have so much kibr, and marriages, because of that, are destroyed easily. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. I mean, and one of the best ways, and you know, actually, there's a problem. And the problem is, we don't actually know if we have good character or not. And that's because nobody reports to us or criticizes our character. And that could be due to many reasons. Number one, the people who are around us are like us. They don't find anything bad in us because they truly believe there's nothing wrong with you. And that's because that's how they are themselves. Or people do know it, but they, you know, they're blinded, so they won't say anything because they, you know, they love you. That's the issue. But how can you help yourself know? It's by studying. Study the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way of living. How did he communicate? And copy the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Study the seerah of the Sahaba and the Salaf. How did they deal with people? Then you will know if you are on the right track or not. You know, sit with the people who have good attitude and good akhlaq, and you will see the difference between yourself and them. Train yourself to, you know, to be better than you are in your communication, in how you deal with people, in how you speak with people, in how you respond with people. And maybe, inshallah, then, you know, you'll be ready to get married. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs and make us better than we are. And last but not least, you know, one of the most important things that a person who is planning to get married or wants to get married to do is for them to use their time wisely while they are still single. Sis, if you don't know your the most greatest thing, which is the Quran, if you don't know that by heart, if you haven't memorized the Quran and you are slacking in memorizing it, then get on with that. Because when you get married, you don't know if you can continue to do that. That's the truth. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying that you can't, but it's difficult. Okay? Focus on memorizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are still single. And I'm not saying wait to memorize the Quran first. I'm saying while you are waiting to find the right person, while you are, you know, what's the word? You're just not married. Focus on memorizing the Quran. Focus on studying the deen. Seek knowledge, sis, like there's no tomorrow. Understand your religion in and out. Study the Aqidah books. Study Tawheed. Study the Arabic language. Like, deeply. Before you get married, be a person of knowledge, sis. Be a person who just needs to revise. Who doesn't need to now, you know, start studying from scratch while you, because you have the time now. The time that you have when you're single
is nothing like the time that you have when you are married and you've got kids and you have a responsibility of a whole house. You have a responsibility of your children. You have a responsibility of yourself and your husband. Whether you like it or not, you are responsible of your husband when you get married. I don't care how you want to think of that, but trust me, you become responsible. That's just how it is. If you want to, you know, ignore this bit, no problem. You can, but you are going to see how that is. Okay? But sis, focus.
Focus while you are still single in attaining all the knowledge that you can. Anyway, I'm going to leave it here. I hope you benefited, inshallah. Make sure you share this with every single sister that you know. Share it with all your contacts. Everywhere that you could possibly share it, inshallah. May Allah reward you. Assalamu alaikum.